grab a beverage, settle in. When you're ready, we'll begin. Joe and Pat and Michael, too, are going to talk comic books with you.
Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, where a couple of comic rookies, Michael and Pat, try to comprehend the world of comic books and comic-related pop culture with the help of Joe, who's just a casual comics guy.
Kick it in then, I think, and I'll adjust levels as we go.
Does that right
work
on.
For you?
Kick it in. I don't know what kick it in is, but kick it in.
Chrononauts. So we keep saying Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
It's never going to end.
Mjolnir.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Casual Comics Cast. Today you got me, Joe, here with you, and Michael, our normal co-host. Say hi,
hello.
Michael. And this week we have Mark again, our good Marvel friend Mark.
Greetings. I'm Marvel Mark.
I like that. Marvel Mark.
There you it's a go. Nice ring to it.
Like Peter Parker.
Peter, yes. Reed Richards.
Reed Richards. And this week we are going to cover The Vision and the Scarlet Witch because there is a Disney Plus series coming up right after the new year, I believe, called WandaVision. Have you seen the trailer to that yet?
No, I haven't really been watching my mom's Disney Plus lately. Is it on there?
It most certainly is. So that'll be coming soon. This may actually, depending on how we go, wind up being a two-part episode. So at some point we will watch the trailer and discuss our thoughts on the trailer, but thought it would be good to get the folks who are listening at home or on the road or jogging or wherever you people listen to your podcasts at up to speed on who these characters are. So we read this week The Uncanny X-Men number 4, which was the first appearance of the Scarlet Witch in Marvel Comics, and the miniseries Vision and Scarlet Witch, which gets a little bit more into their life at home and their life apart from the X-Men. So I just thought we'd start in chronological order with Uncanny X-Men, if I can pronounce it right, number 4, The Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. And I did like the credits. Did you notice the credits on the page? Sensational Story by Stan Lee. Dynamic Drawings by Jack Kirby. Imaginative Inking by Paul Reinman. And Legible Lettering by Art Simek. So that's your creative team on the book. Starts off with the X-Men in the Danger Room. How much do you know about the Danger Room, Michael?
I didn't know it was called that, but I feel like in other comics that we've read about the X-Men, they have like a training area. That's what that is, right?
Yep.
Right on.
And it's dangerous.
It looks dangerous. I mean, there's all sorts of crap going on in there.
It's to train them to control their powers.
Right. Because we have to remember they are the most unusual teenagers of all time. So even though they might appear to be
very mature.
Right. They're just teenagers. Starts off with the Beast sort of bouncing around, and it looks like punching bags coming out of the wall and flames shooting out of the floor. It's a lot different, Mark, than the Danger Room that I remember from the 80s, where it was like all holograms and hard light and robots and stuff coming at him. Sorry, Professor X is just kind of dropping random crap on them from the ceiling.
Yeah. Well,
the sophistication that you're describing is probably, I mean, it's not that it's not sophisticated, it's just more like Indiana Jones kind of booby trap sort of things going on. What I really liked is when the Beast thought he was trying to escape and he grabs what he thinks is a rope and he's like, oh, it's only a camouflage strip of paper.
Like, what the heck? Professor X is kind of sneaky that way.
I think
in the 60s they had, it was more like a fancy gym or weight room with just stuff randomly thrown at you. And then in the 80s, Joe, it reminded me of, for the Star Trek people out there, it's more like a holodeck.
Right. You just reminded me of it. Does. It kind of reminds me of Mandelbaum. Time That's to turn right. it up, Butterbean. It's like Professor X's medicine balls and stuff in there.
Sausages. What in holy hell?
No, Mr. Mandelbaum, it's not me.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
It's a whole Seinfeld episode.
It's a Seinfeld.
Let's kick it up a notch, Butterbean. No pain, no gain.
That is kind of Professor X in this. He's just kind of the old dude who's going to put him through their old school paces and see how they come up. So Beast runs at first, then Iceman. And that's a weird looking Iceman back then.
Yeah, super weird. He's like actually like just really silly too.
He's a softer version. He's not halting and
he looks. Like, he's no like angles. He's like freezer burn. He's like mumpy, like freezer burn.
It's on your ice cream. Flurry flurries, like flurry man, not ice man. Flurry boy.
Right. He hasn't solidified all the way, and so he's completely head. I'm going to say head to ankles snow, and then he's just got he's randomly got
little,
boots.
Little boot booties. Yeah.
He needs to keep his feet warm.
It's his uniform.
It's his well, required but no, uniform.
But he's just a. It's like he puts the ice on as a layer outside of his body, though. So, like when it melts, he's wearing underpants too, right. Or swim trunks. Yeah. Maybe it's hard to tell.
Probably want him to be waterproof.
I think this reminds me of like a lot of episodes. Was it that? What's his name? Why am I Kevin Smith? He asked Stanley all those really awkward questions about
Mallrats.
Yes, like, yeah.
Is the things stuff made out of rocks too?
That's right. Does every part of Reed Richards' body stretch as far as it can go? And he's like, "What are you talking about? Like, I don't think of those things." That's what you reminded me of, Michael, when you were asking about his underpants.
I'm always thinking about the underpants, Mark. I can't help myself.
I know.
Because I actually, in my notes, when we later get to the Vision and Scarlet Witch romance, I had questions. I did.
Yeah.
About underpants?
About the nether regions. Yes, I did.
All right. We'll get to an adult
does everything phase?
Oh, boy. Well, Michael, for our listeners, this is Uncanny X-Men number 4. Why don't you run down who the X-Men team is when we kick off this issue? Oh, we already talked about you got Iceman.
Yeah, you got more faith in my notes this time. We got Angel.
Angel.
Mm-hmm. We have Professor X.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jean Grey.
Right.
And we have Cyclops.
Right. And the
I think that's it. Just the five, right?
Just the five? That's the classic?
Jean Grey's Marvel Girl.
Right.
Okay.
And it's her birthday.
So nice.
Professor.
Wait, wasn't her... Who are you supposed to be? Wheels? I thought the birthday was celebrating the one-year anniversary of the team.
Was
I thought that's what the birthday...
I know.
It says it's a birthday cake.
It's a birthday cake, but it's celebrating
the birth of the team
for a year.
That's weird. Tricky. Who's a birthday? That's like an anniversary cake, not a birthday
right.
cake. Stupid.
You don't. Yeah. I thought it was an anniversary present and a birthday cake. Like, I don't understand why they have a cake.
You're right. I'm looking at it. It's confusing because the cake has more than one candle on it. But it is to celebrate their 1 year anniversary of being an actual class together.
Yeah. And I think they actually call it a birthday cake because the point is it's a 1 year, the birth of the X-Men. Like, right. I think that's the whole point that Professor X makes of the team turned 1 year old.
Right.
Like, I think that's what
at which point, you know, because Cyclops already has a crush on Marvel Girl, he decides to show off by cutting the cake with his optic blasts.
Why wouldn't you do that, Joe? What's so weird about that? Mike, I'm like, aren't they concussion blasts? Like, wouldn't it just smush the cake?
Yeah, I'd be mad.
Yeah, and then so they go straight into the introduction of this is the first appearance, I think, of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Michael, you got notes on who the Brotherhood are here?
I do.
And then maybe Mark, as she brings them up, you can tell me your recollections of them and what their powers are. Go ahead.
Toad.
Wow, that's. Do you want me to tell? So she'll say a name of one of the Brotherhood, and I'll
you freestyle.
Shout out his. Superpower. Yeah. Okay. Well, Michael, does that sound like a good duet?
She's guzzling. What are you drinking? That's not even alcohol.
Sparkling ice. Strawberry watermelon. You know.
Wrong pipe.
Don't worry. We'll fix all this.
So Michael, you mentioned a Brotherhood name. By the way, underrated cool name of villain group. I mean, you got the Sinister Six, Joe. But right. I think Brotherhood of Evil Mutants is a pretty cool,
got a good ring to it.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
What other villain groups are there? Sinister Six?
Well, I mean, you've got the Legion of Doom over in DC, but that's kind of... But yeah, you got the Wrecking Crew. You've got, I guess there aren't a lot of the Marauders. If you think of X-Men, there's the Marauders. The Hellfire Club. Didn't we talk about the Hellfire Club?
That's a pretty good one.
I guess X-Men have some cool team names. I'm trying to think of like teams that fought the Avengers, but there aren't really a lot of
the Masters of Evil.
Masters of Evil, yeah.
That's not great. Right. That's no Brotherhood of. No. I think you're right. Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Brotherhood's pretty. Yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's
better. All
right. So who's in the Brotherhood, Michael?
All right, we've got Toad.
Toad has a wicked tongue, Senator. That's from the X-Men movie, by the way. He has a long tongue, and it can like wrap around stuff, and he can spit people.
And he right? doesn't.
Can he like he spit on people? And,
yeah, he doesn't do any of that in this comic, though.
I was wondering what his power was. I did see him do some cool jumping at one point, but I was like, that's not really a cool power.
He does.
I think that's his power. He can jump really far.
He does a lot of jumping. He did use his tongue in like an X-Men movie where he was played by Ray Park, Star Wars Connection, right?
That's right. And, Darth Maul.
And then Storm electrocuted his tongue.
That's right.
So X-Men movie there. All right, Mark. Michael.
So Toad hops.
Then we've got Quicksilver.
As the name implies, he runs really fast.
Yes. Then we have the Scarlet Witch.
Mystic, like hex powers, as well as overall spellcaster.
Yes. Then we have the Mastermind.
I think he creates illusions, if I remember correctly. That's his superpower.
He's kind of the giant power. Jerk of the group, too. He's like just an ass all the time.
He is.
He's like,
agreed.
One day, Scarlet Witch, if I want to, I'll mate with you.
What a good jerk.
I know. And then all he does is illusions. And then, like, Quicksilver kicks his ass for, like, saying bad things to his sister.
Very protective of his sister, which is a good quality, I think.
They've got a pretty good bond, it seems.
Yeah.
And they go.
But they're twins, right?
They're twins. And they go a little bit into their origin in this issue. They just touch on it lightly. Here, which is, it seems like the Scarlet Witch was living in Europe somewhere, and she was in a small village, and she had mutant powers, and the villagers thought she was really a witch because she was in this backwards town, and they were gonna burn her or kill her in some way, and Magneto saved her, and then she's like, oh, I owe you my life, I have a debt to you, and so her and Quicksilver are just kind of in the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants at this point because Magneto saved her life, and so her brother's like, yep, I guess we'll go pay off our debt to this guy, because that's how we roll in whatever country they're from.
Right. Definitely a prelude to, or foreshadowing, I don't know what it would be, to the fact that neither of them are really evil. Mm-hmm. They just kind of follow Magneto because they owe him something.
But you get little hints of that in this comic, too, where they're sort of questioning Magneto's motives about, you know, just dominating and destroying the human race. Like, they're like, do we have to do that?
Right.
We don't have to do that.
Right. Yeah. Are we sure a nuclear bomb is the right thing to happen here? Skipping to the end, but yeah.
So the issue opens just, like, reintroducing people to the X-Men, who they are, in the Danger Room, introducing the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants and who they are, and then... Michael, I'll let you run down the plot because you seem to have the best notes, and I think you have some great questions. And I, being kind of new to this, of Professor X reads a story about something happening in Santo Marco.
Well, you're skipping a critical step, which is that Magneto and crew steal a freighter. they like commandeer a freighter. I guess the freighter. The purpose of the freighter is to treat it like a battleship. And
some cannons.
But the stealing of this freighter is actually what alerts Professor X to there being something going on. Like, Angel's out doing a patrol, and he's like, yeah, there's just like this freighter cruising in the ocean, and nobody was on it. And Professor X is like, oh, something sneaky with this.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to me that Magneto is the master of magnetism, and instead of just using the fact that this entire ship is made of metal and using his magnetic powers to push it, instead he uses his magnetic powers to flip all the levers and do everything that an entire crew would do to actually run the boat.
Exactly.
He's like, I'm turning on the engines and steering it.
Well,
it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that you'd have to really use your mind control to do that. But they basically use this freighter to go to off the shore of Santa Marco and they want to take over this country. And the mastermind kind of creates the illusion of them being invaded by an army, and really it's just the five of these mutants.
Yeah, those people of Santo Marco pretty quickly give up because every one of those soldiers is just an optical illusion, but none of them wait to find out. They're like, oh, here they come. Look, there's a bunch of dudes over there. We surrender immediately.
Yeah, so there's not a ton of resistance that they find. It's interesting because you don't go into like, why that country? He's just like, that's the one that we want.
Yeah, it's small enough that he can just take his freighter there and start shelling it and have an illusion army come in. And then they give up, and then he quickly like recruits the actual people from Santo Marco who are human beings and be like, you're in the army now. And that's how he gets like a real army of people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the real army is larger than the illusion army. So I'm like, if the illusion army attack, you're like, wait a minute, we actually have a more powerful army,
right,
to beat you. So why would you give up?
I guess I was confused by the timeline, but looking back at it, it's like, okay, so he takes it, he invades this place, does he create the fake army first? I don't think so. Well, it's a little bit of a confusing timeline, but it can't be more than a couple of days from the time that he invades to the time he's got like a full army that's trained of people, because by the time the X-Men show up, there's this whole army that wasn't there before.
Right.
And it can't have been months or even weeks.
Well, and remember, the X-Men show up, isn't it, in disguise as like a professor and his school children?
Yeah, they're like in a boat or a car. Yeah, they're like, here, we're like just here to tour your country.
We're on a peacekeeping education mission from exactly. The Peace Corps.
Right, and the Border Patrol.
Surprise!
The Border Patrol has been already warned by Magneto. Some people are going to show up acting like this. Let them in. Just let them in.
Yeah, it's students on a goodwill visit from America.
This is their trap.
Brilliant.
So they've laid the trap, and the X-Men show up, right?
How does... I don't remember the art on it, but how do they disguise Angel? Doesn't he have, like, a wingspan of a condor?
I think he can. I think he can fold them down real tight and snug.
Real tight.
They're all stuffed into a car, so like you can't tell anything.
Yeah.
But put him in the back.
There's a couple times where you see him, and he looks like he's just wearing a jacket.
Yeah.
He's just got it tucked in.
They retracted.
That's right. He's just tucked it and taped it.
They shrink in cold water.
Oh my God, you guys. And I'm supposed to be the one that causes everyone to go, oh my gosh. She said nether regions.
She said underpants.
Right at R.
Keep us on track. What else happens?
Well, so at this point, Magneto and crew have taken up housing in their like Imperial Palace or, you know, their government building. And the X-Men, basically, they hatched their plan. They're all going to go, and they're going to each attack from a different angle. So
seems like familiar, based on when we read giant-sized X-Men.
I know.
We're all going to go a different direction. We'll meet up in the middle.
Well, this one, they at least didn't seemingly all get there at the same exact time and cover the same exact distance. But the Beast tries to, you know, climb a tower, and, you know, Angel flies in, as you would if you had wings, and they're kind of thwarted by the evil mutants. So like, you know, as the Beast is climbing the tower, for example, the mastermind makes him think that the rocks of the tower are ice. And so he, you know, he gets spazzed out and falls off. And so you've also still got like the villagers who are in the army, or the people from Santa Marco who are also trying to fight the X-Men. So the next big series is really just all the different X-Men trying to get into the palace and them being, you know, attacked by different evil mutants.
So yada,
scenes there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Good panels of battle scenes.
Yeah. I mean, it's for a comic of that age, it's got some pretty good action. It's got, I think it's the humor is a little dated in it. But yeah. And then they wrap up and. Action.
I did note that someone was told not to cry into their Ovaltine.
Right. Don't cry into your Ovaltine.
So that's, yes, a little
bit. He really
dated.
Blew the bit on that one. I'm like, yeah, that's I guess people used to talk that way.
And then to your point, Michael, like Magneto's got this evil scheme at the end. He's got a 2-bomb threat. 1 bomb to kill the X-Men. If that bomb doesn't work, he's going to detonate a bomb, nuclear bomb, to blow up the whole island. And then they start fleeing. They set the timer for 10 minutes. I don't know, 10 minutes is like you got enough time to get away from a nuclear explosion in 10 minutes, but that's what they're going with. And apparently it has a fuse because then Quicksilver like jets back and is like, yeah, I'm against you, X-Men. You're all a bunch of tools, but I'm not cool with wiping out like thousands and thousands of people. And he right. undoes the fuse. Like a Wile E. Coyote or something.
Yeah.
Damn it. Why didn't I think of that?
So that's the introduction.
You have to do it really fast. That's the point. And that's the, Michael was saying it earlier, that's the kind of alluding to the fact that neither one of them, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, are really evil. They'll take it like to a certain point and they won't cross apparent whatever line that Magneto doesn't feel bad crossing.
Yeah. Right. They're like a good kid in high school that just got in with the wrong crowd. You know, they just need to be like right set a little bit.
Yeah. They're not bad. Right. They just owe Magneto something. They feel like they do because he did them a favor. Now they're just repaying the favor.
So the other sort of big thing that happens in this comic is Professor X gets injured. So he kind of comes in and tries to rescue his peeps at one point, and he kind of loses his brain power, which is his power, right? Like he's
not a man
of physical feats. He uses his brain.
I think he says he can no longer throw his mind.
Yeah.
He says something of that nature. Yes.
He failed to talk into the proper amount of probiotics and antibiotics. Antioxidants and brain power.
I can no longer read minds or throw my thoughts.
My thoughts.
Yeah.
I'd like to throw my thoughts.
I would like to throw my thoughts too. I think about that sometimes. I'm like, I use my facial expressions to tell you what I'm thinking, but if you could just, I could just throw those thoughts right at you.
Yeah. I mean, people.
I probably wouldn't have that many friends.
but yeah, I wouldn't mind just saying. That should be a saying we should start up of, man, you know what, Joe? I really wish I could just throw my thoughts at you.
Throw my thoughts at you.
I have some thoughts to throw at you, Joe.
We'll have to workshop it. New to workshop. Any other thoughts?
Well, yeah, he gets injured, though. That's the big hanger, right?
That's the end, right? Yeah. And he's their fearless leader. And also, just they're like, well, are we anything without him? Like, without him, is the X-Men a thing? Like, did we celebrate our first birthday and now we are no more because he's gone or his powers are gone? So
right.
That's where it's left off questioning as the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants kind of rides off on their big freighter.
Right.
And that's the introduction of the, I don't know if we talked about that or not, but that is the, there's a lot of first appearances in this issue.
So I wouldn't know
and all those characters.
I wouldn't know that. So who here did you know before? Like who's the first appearance and who's kind of an old?
So member? Magneto was the only evil, if my understanding, Joe, you can correct me wrong. Magneto was the only evil character that wasn't the first appearance. Yep. I think all the other ones we talked about are all first appearances.
This is only
Scarlet Witch, Toad, Mastermind. Those are all I think first appearances of all those, and as well as the first introduction of something called the Brotherhood.
I can see why Toad didn't really catch on, because he is boring.
Toad's still around.
He was in the first X-Men movie.
Was he a main character? Because I'm pretty sure I saw that movie and I still don't remember him.
Yep.
He was a he was the main baddie. He was the star.
It was called the first movie.
He was the main love interest. He was sort of like an ugly duckling turned into a swan story.
The first movie was called is X-Men, and then the subtitle was Rise of Toad.
Rise of Toad, son of dad.
It's kind of catch all.
Edzo.
Yeah, but I mean, this was only the fourth issue, so they had only had three comics before it, and yes, Magneto, I think, was the main bad guy in the first comic, and then this is first time for all these bad guys, and they kind of stuck. I went back and did so two things on wrapping that, which is number one, I did not research this, Mark, but any wagers on how long Professor X's mental powers were actually gone?
Like in terms of hours?
Number of issues.
Oh, number of issues. I think they come back in issue 6. Is that right? So one issue?
I haven't looked. It's either got to be 5 or 6. His power's not gone that long. And then I lost where I was going.
Well, you were saying
happens. Throw some thoughts at him. Throw some thoughts at him, Mark.
I've lost my. I've been temporarily weakened. Throwing my thoughts.
I ran full speed into a wall like Quicksilver.
Well, I guess the thing is if you are a fan of the Brotherhood or any of the Evil Mutants, original Evil Mutants, like this is the first appearance. So it's a pretty important episode from that standpoint. If you're big into when was the first time somebody was mentioned? And as you guys know, Scarlet Witch is in the movies and she has her WandaVision coming out. If you want to know the first time she was ever introduced in Marvel, like, this is the issue. So that's kind of a cool thing.
And this is the one where you see her origin. You don't see everyone else's origin, but you sort of see her origin for the first time. I did look up how long were her and Quicksilver bad guys, and it wasn't very long. At some point, like around issue number 16 or something, something happens to Magneto. They try and rescue him. He disappears, and they're like, well, our debt to him is paid. The end. And then, like, not too long after that, they're Avengers. And I did not realize it was the history of the Avengers. There's the original Avengers crew, which was Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America. They swept all the Avengers out at one point to make a new Avengers team as Captain America, and everybody they brought into the team were former bad guys. So it's Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye was a bad guy. And I forget who the last one was, but he like created a new Avengers team all out of people who were former bad guys. So like Suicide Squad,
that's
way back
before my time of collecting Avengers, Joe. Is it Black Knight? Was he one of the because I think he was a former bad guy, but I don't know. You might be. I remember Hercules and Black Knight as Avengers back in the early 80s when I read Avengers, but that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. They were all former baddies.
Yeah, I did.
I like how you keep saying the word baddies.
That's a comic thing, Michael.
Is it baddies. A comic thing? Because it's a thing. Maybe. I feel like it's like a Kardashian thing.
This is what I
maybe
like
it
about
is now.
The article I read. It says here
like some kind of hip slang that people use is like the term baddie now. So
baddies.
Interesting.
It says the he eventually removed all of them except for Captain America and replaced them with the villains. The Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver from the X-Men, Hawkeye from Iron Man's Adventures and Tales of Suspense. The team was known as Cap's Kooky Quartet.
Oh, God.
Oh, was it? Is that true?
That's ridiculous.
That is true.
That's Cap's Kooky Quartet.
It's ridiculous.
It's like, I can't even do it, Joe, but it's like, you got to do like a, what is that? It's like a quartet, like a barbershop quartet.
Cap's Kooky Quartet.
Kooky Quartet.
And now Scarlet Witch has her own show coming up. So fast forward to the 1980s, and I wanted to get everybody a little bit into what was more my groove of being introduced to the Vision and the Scarlet Witch, which was their series titled Vision and the Scarlet Witch. It was a 4-issue Marvel Comics limited series written by Bill Mantlo and written in pencils by Rick Leonardi. And this goes a little bit more into Vision and Scarlet Witch after they were Avengers. And it literally opens with them walking down the street and buying their house. What'd you think of that, Michael?
Yeah, they're like living in the burbs, just trying to be regular people, except neither of them
suburban
are
town
real
in Jersey.
Yeah.
That's right.
Was it Jersey?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Go back to Jersey.
Jersey. I think that's what the city was called.
Right. They're going to rest and relax. They get there and they do what all new homeowners do. They take the for sale sign out of their yard. I like that touch. She uses her powers in the trash. And they're moving in on Halloween, right?
Yep.
So is this where you have questions about Vision's clothes and underwear or not?
This is the issue where it came into my mind.
Because he's wearing like a V-neck and jeans.
Well, I mean, that wasn't what made me think of his nether regions. It was that they have this whole scene where they're like, we just moved into our new house and they want to make out and they talk about lovemaking. So it's natural that I questioned how that works for, what is he called? A synthezoid?
Synthezoid.
Explain this to me.
No, I think it's spelled wrong in there. It's spelled with an O.
How does 60-time work?
That's right.
Well, I thought you would have picked that up from the Vision's origin as they tell it in this series, which I can like.
Well, no, I did. So he's a compilation of a bunch of different things. He's the body of the Human Torch.
Of the original Human Torch, who was an android.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's the Human Torch who's Johnny Storm in the X-Men, who's just a dude. Well, I mean, sounds I was good. Confused when I was a kid because I always thought the Human Torch was Johnny Storm. From the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
There was a Human Torch before him
who used to... the Human Torch part of him was made by Ultron, right?
No, that
wait,
was
Joe.
Made
so
by...
the Human Torch, the original Human Torch was
an android? Yeah,
This is news to me. I knew it wasn't Johnny Storm, but I didn't know it was an android.
Yeah,
this is
he used to fight the Submariner
for the Marvel
time.
Nerd.
The one who used to fight with Cap in World War II. What were they called?
Right. But I didn't know that was an android. I guess I didn't even think about it.
The Invaders, wasn't it? The Invaders?
Yeah, the Invaders. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was an android. This is one of the things I used to like about this is like you can read it a million times and still not completely comprehend this whole thing because they got some tangled ass family tree and family history here.
Well, and the series and not to... you know, skip to all four of them, but they were written as like standalone stories. It wasn't a very coherent series, I didn't think.
Yeah, they were just little ties with each other, but there's a lot of theme about what does it mean to be a family, because the first episode...
It means to be dysfunctional.
Does it?
Exactly. Let's make out.
But to love each other anyways.
That's right.
Jarvis is
cooking us dinner. We can't make out in front of him.
Yeah, I was like, Jarvis just shows up, like, unannounced.
Hey, Jarvis.
I mean, not mind you, when I moved into my house, I would have loved to have had a Jarvis to, like, help me cook dinner and put stuff away, answer the door. Right. But like, what are you doing here, Jarvis? You don't live here.
Jarvis is awesome, though. Jarvis is, like, a staple of the X-Men. He's, like, their butler. And I think he worked for Tony Stark, and then when all the Avengers moved into the Avengers Tower, he's like, Jarvis, you just be our butler. Because it was like they had dorms there. They all lived there, too. It's like it's like the X-Men. They all just live together, hang out.
Well, so
Joe, I'm surprised you've gone this long talking about it, and you haven't brought up your favorite, the name of your favorite villain ever created in the world is about to be introduced.
This is my favorite hero. My favorite hero. The Wizard.
Okay, yeah, but the Wizard
worst name ever given to any character.
I agree. It is a ridiculous name, and also how he became the Wizard is extra ridiculous,
right?
Because he got an infusion of mongoose blood.
Right.
Yes.
Now we're confusing everybody. Let's go in order. All right. Let's tackle.
Okay, sorry, that's not till issue two, Mark. Get it.
Issue one.
I know, but I just couldn't help myself. The Wizard.
Okay.
Issue one. Halloween. They're moving in. They get there, and Jarvis is there. He's like cleaning up for him because he's that's how Jarvis rolls. It's not his job.
Move in.
It's not his job. His job is working for the Avengers, and they're not Avengers anymore. But he's like, yeah, I just showed up.
He was showing up to drop off a present too from Captain America.
Right.
So maybe he just decided to stick around after he dropped that off. You know,
and he drops it off.
That's right.
And then they go in the other room, and they're like.
Making out,
sexy time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, they don't do that. They say we're gonna postpone our lovemaking until later,
I know.
Then things go wrong.
Which is a weird thing to actually just say out loud.
I agree. But all the while, there's this gift, right, that Jarvis dropped off. So Captain America supposedly gave this book to Jarvis to deliver to. The Scarlet Witch, and it's a book of druidic runes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sitting there on the table ominously, and then everything goes wrong.
It was a gift from Captain America.
Captain's kooky quartet.
Well, I mean, he does. So Scarlet Witch, her powers, she does have mutant hex powers or probability powers. So she can make very improbable things happen easily through her those powers. But she also trained under a real witch, so she knows real magic, too.
Well, it said in this issue that she has poltergeist powers, which I thought was pretty cool.
I don't know what poltergeist powers are. That
you can open cabinets without touching them. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what they are either. But
did you not really see the movie, scary. Joe? You can hide inside your butt
across the floor.
You can give kids messages through a TV.
Don't go into the light.
But they have a couple flashbacks which are kind of cool, like in the middle of some of this action where you get to know them, and they do talk about Vision, of how he was molded out of this the synthetic body of the Human Torch by Ultron, and then they put the brain patterns of Wonder Man, and so it starts to build this little weird family tree that he has that they explore a little later, and they get into, I mean, this issue really focuses around just the two of them, right? And their beginning of their married life in the suburbs, getting attacked by weird, creepy Halloween dude that pops out of the gift from Captain America. Thanks, Cap.
Sam Hain. Yeah.
It's almost like it'd be like nowadays, they didn't have, I don't know if they had this concept then, but it's like you get a weird, creepy book like that that's like a druidish spell book or something like that. Why not just run it by Doctor Strange for like a virus check or something? Like, hey, Doc, before we start circulating this out in the general population, can you just once over see if there's any evil spirits trapped in here that are trying to get out or anything?
Yeah, I'm wondering if Cap knew any of that, or he just thought the book was cool and weird and would give it to Scarlet Witch.
Well, they said that he unleashed the book from wherever it was being stored.
Right, so like, there was some evil dude trying to do something, and then he defeated that guy and then took the book from him.
Yeah, I couldn't really understand whether they were trying to say that Captain America was evil, and I was like, that's probably not right.
Maybe Jarvis misinterpreted it. Maybe Jarvis thought this is a housewarming present, and Scarlet Witch was supposed to be the one to check it out. Like, he was maybe supposed to give it to her with a note that said, check this out, I think there's something evil here. And that got swapped with a, you know, housewarming card.
Mixed it up with a cookbook he wanted to give him. Maybe Cap gave him the wrong book. I don't know.
It would be a more fitting Christmas or housewarming present.
And you get to see a lot of Vision's powers in this. Do you want to explain what you think Vision's powers are, having read this comic, Michael?
He can do something with molecules, or he could go to intangible form, and he can shove his hand through people.
Yeah, that's awesome. He can reach his intangible hand or body through people and disrupt their molecules, causing them a great pain.
I can't tell if Mark is frozen or if he's just in shock about what you said. I think he might be frozen. I was like, wow, so Mark's really interested in what you just said. So he can do that, but I'm just trying to understand. He can do something with his eyeballs, too. Can he do something with his eyeballs?
He can shoot solar beams out of his eyes.
Solar beams out of his eyes.
And he can alter his molecular density. So Got he it. Can become super dense and unbreakable. Hey, there goes Mark. He'll be back, hopefully. And then he can also become intangible and fly and do stuff. Solar beams shooting out of his eyes. That's the main powers there.
So I thought his powers, I'm not going to say that they're not cool. They're fine. I thought what was cooler about him was the sort of mental part of it, that they're like, you're not a human. You're made up of you're basically made up of a bunch of pieces and parts of different things, but somehow this compilation of how you were formed, you have defied the odds and you have the ability to love and have these human characteristics and traits. And that explains how he and Scarlet Witch are together. And, you know, the common theme that you see in this whole series, and I'm assuming kind of in all stories about the relationship, is that there's this profound love between them that is defying the odds. Like, it's not natural or not expected, but they do truly love each other.
Right. It's like when we talked about earlier X-Men comics sort of being about accepting of you know, different cultures and different races and different things. Vision of Scarlet Witch is she's a mutant, so she's kind of an outcast. And even with the mutants, he's this synthezoid, and they're he's not really a human being. And at one point in one of the comics, they describe him like in some clunky way, but like in a meaningful way of like, well, some people get an artificial limb, they get an artificial leg, they get an artificial arm. He just happens to have all artificial parts, but he has a human mm-hmm. mind. And so, yeah. So the two of them together are facing tons of prejudice from almost everywhere, but they find happiness with each other, which is what I always liked about this.
Well, there was a really interesting way he was described in one of the later issues too. They called him, I think, logic incarnate. That like that's just like this the summation of him is just that he was just pure logic, and that was actually one of his sort of powers, is that he could like deduce the most logical, you know, path forward based on how he's made up.
Right. So issue number two, I'm going to skip to because you get to some more family stuff, and I love the title on the front cover. It's like, no matter how fast the wizard runs, he can't escape.
Yes.
The path. So in this one, like. You know, I don't think we need to go through it in linear fashion, but really, there's another family story going on here, right? Vision and Scarlet Witch are just sitting in their house in New Jersey, where they have like a giant machine where they can communicate with the moon. Like, I can't barely get a cell signal in my basement, but in 1980, they had a video phone with the moon that didn't freeze up, so they could talk to her brother, Quicksilver, who's on the moon with his wife.
Is it the moon? I thought it was Atlan.
Atlan, which is on the moon.
Oh, is it? Okay, yes. I didn't know that. I didn't put that together. All right.
Atlan is
the city. Other side of the moon.
Oh, that's why I didn't get it.
You can't see it from here.
You can't see it.
Which makes it even harder to get reception on the whole other side of the moon. But like now here's a little family interlude where the wizard shows up and he's her dad, quote unquote, dad. And he's like, hey, I need your help. And the only people who can help me are the inhumans who live on the moon. So she calls her brother, who's there with wife and new baby. And is like, hey, Robert Frank, remember the guy who thinks he's our dad, but he's really not. But we've never told him he's not really our dad. He's here and he needs a favor. Right. And he needs a family related favor, which is his son, Nuclo. Has a massive problem that he has like the intellect still of like a little child, but he's a full grown man who has like the power of like 100 suns inside of him that they have to keep
him. He's radioactive.
It's like a bubble boy.
He's a
they're keeping him locked up in what they keep calling the nursery.
Right. In a playpen.
Yeah.
Right. Because he's very mentally immature, but he's very dangerous because he has so much radiation. And they're like, well, I know this old guy isn't really our dad, but he acted like our dad, and we thought he was our dad for a long time. So let's give him a hand and help him out with that. And then, you know, and it's like Vision and Scarlet Witch are all like lovey about it. And they're like, this is great. We're going to do what we can to help. And Vision the whole time is like, but this dude's not your dad.
Yeah. He's like, we have this like dirty secret, right? He keeps getting kind of frustrated and muttering under his breath, like, you're not even her dad. Like, he has a little bit of head bunning with the wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like everything.
She should, because her kind of weaknesses, she needs.
Oh, you're cutting out there, Mark.
Very familial, because I'm sure of her upbringing was not very familial. So I think she feels bad. She's like, I don't want to be abandoned and that whole thing. So I think there's a lot of things around that are interesting.
Well, it's interesting too, because I mean, the whole storyline is that the wizard kind of has abandoned Nuclo, that he's suddenly feeling really guilty for like leaving Nuclo in this facility where like scientists are taking care of him and managing him, that he's like having, you know, regrets about that. And he's older now and he's, you know, he's coming into this part of his life where he's like, oh crap, I should probably try to be not such a terrible father.
Right. And then
and maybe he should have raised him instead of having him be a 40-year-old kid.
Yeah, right.
I mean, but there's pathos there too, in that you realize that there's no way this guy could have cared for the kid at home or anything. Yeah, maybe he should have hung out and stayed there, but I mean, he's so dangerous, they need to have like 24-hour care for him with this thing. Interlude while they go to this place where Nuclo is being kept. I just love the fact that they take a taxi everywhere. It's just like in the cab, he's like, two Avengers in my cab, wow.
Like, oh, I got two of them in here.
They don't even like buy their own car. They just cab it around. Like, you'd think Tony Stark could hook them up with something. Not, they don't have to have a Quinjet, but like.
Well, so how did Jarvis get there? Why didn't he bring in the limo? Like, he's like, I took a taxi too. Wait a minute, you have a car. You're actually a butler and a chauffeur.
But they, I guess they're not Avengers anymore, so they're not getting a paycheck. You got to live within your means.
Well, they used their savings from their last Avengers paychecks to buy their house. They said that in the first issue, so.
Isn't that weird that, like, as an Avenger, you're just like, man, I hope we get IC this year.
Wonder about my bonus.
How many days off do you think you get?
I don't think you get any days off. It's a terrible job.
Are you sure?
It's like 100% on call. I think you're just always on call.
I agree. I don't think you get days off.
Think so? Or do you think that they operate like firefighters, where it's like you got like, you got like 5 days on, 4 days off?
You know, what if they have dental?
You got to stay fresh. Well, Vision doesn't need dental. That's the good part of it being synthesis.
He doesn't need anything.
I don't know if that's true. He ends up in the hospital.
Right. They take him there.
Well, he does. Yeah, he does.
He ends up with a stump arm.
Yeah,
he does. So,
does stump
arm. Nuclo.
So they cab it to the hospital where Nuclo is, and you know it's kind of touching, the you know, the reuniting the father and the son, and he's like, I'm here to help my son get out. And what you realize is one of the doctors is some evil villain who's got a plan to steal all Nuclo's power. To, like, make himself super powerful.
Mm-hmm. He's been siphoning off the radioactive, like, vibes from Nuclo and bringing them into his own suit that he's created.
Right. And then here's your super action scene, which is kind of cool. It's spliced throughout the entire comic. It's flashbacks, and here's what's happening now. And then, yeah, Vision tries to turn his arm intangible while the dude's all nuclear powered up, and his whole arm melts, and it's super gnarly. Ugh.
It's really ugly looking, yeah.
It was.
Looks painful. Yeah.
And then this is where he makes.
I think that was unintentionally horrific in the arting. The arting. It's very arty.
It's a technical term.
It's arting. That's what it is.
So when you look in the masthead of the comic, it's like penciler and then arting.
Arting. Who did the arting? Drawing. I combined drawing and art into one word.
I think it worked.
But yeah, it's kind of cool because like his arm always, his clothes always look like they're part of his body for some reason. But it looks like his arm's partially melted. But even though he's like synthetic, it looks like you can see like muscle and sinew and gore and gross stuff under there. Even though it's probably more like melted plastic and
adamantium. So it shouldn't get destroyed. I thought they said in the first issue. That there was something they said, talked about adamantium being part of his makeup, that which confused me.
No.
Yes. I'm going to find the panel. I just read this today.
Okay. I'm going to put money on Michael on this one, Joe.
Yeah, because I take fantastic notes.
Yep.
Are you sure it wasn't that Ultron's made of adamantium?
Oh,
why? Knows? Why would she even like know that? That's what I'm saying.
She did just read it like 2 minutes before we started.
But that's what I'm saying. Ultron has access to adamantium, so he's like, throw some in there.
Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Just a little bit.
All right.
A little bit of this. Right.
Maybe there's some vibranium in there too.
I like how Joe's like, no. He's a synthesoid.
Maybe there's some
that isn't in the arting.
Maybe there's some unobtainium in there too. All right, well, let's move on while you try and prove me wrong there. And he has to make this like cold logical decision, right? His arm is causing him so much pain he can't move and he can't help his wife. She's like uses his solar beams out of his eyes and cuts his own arm off, cauterizes it so he can help the Scarlet Witch. And in the meantime, the Whizzer springs into action to try and help. And even though he's like my doctor told me I should not ever be running anymore. Because I could have a heart attack. He still got his costume on under his clothes for some reason.
Well, what was the crew he was part of? The superstars, or what were they called? The All Winners.
All Winners.
And he was married to Miss America.
That's true. What?
Yeah, that's what it said. It said that Robert Frank, the wizard, who was part of the All Winners, was married to Miss America. And that's how they had the baby, Nuclo. Or maybe, yeah, yeah.
Right. So Vision cuts off his own
power from Mongoose blood. Anyway, looks
I don't know. Is a mongoose really that fast? I don't know that much about mongoose.
Mongooses.
I think that's how COVID started.
Oh, man.
So the sad news is, though, to your point, he sprung to action because he was needed, even though he knew there was a risk to him, and it didn't turn out well for him.
Right.
And then Vision, it didn't.
Vision blabs, because Vision's mad. Vision blabs, you're not her real dad. I don't know why. He's being kind of a jerk, but I guess he's cutting his own arm off, too.
Because he's a guy, and they like that.
You're not a dad.
Secrets.
But she tells him, you know what, I still love you and care about you anyway, even though you weren't my real biological father. In the rescuing him, Wizard dies, Vision loses an arm, Nuclo gets all of his power drained so he can be, like, relatively normal, but then they never kind of follow up with where he goes. I assume that he doesn't have to stay in this weird laboratory anymore. And he's weirdly...
Yeah, I don't think, Joe, does Nuclo ever show up ever again?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think so. But anyway, that's a random thing. But I just, yeah.
We'll follow up on that. That's issue two. Issue three, different family issues. Issue three is called Blood Brothers. Opens with...
That's right. They need to get Vision's arm back. That's the whole plot point there.
Starts with Wonder Man, another Avenger, riding the subway. Again. And apparently time is of the essence because they need his power to... help the Vision. All the Avengers are hanging out in costume at the hospital waiting for him to show up. Again, Tony Stark cannot be bothered, as one of the richest men in the world, to send something to pick up Wonder Man other than, dude, hope you hop the H train and get here on time.
They want to show the merits of a public transportation system in a major city.
Except that the first scene is that it breaks down and Wonder Man has to get out of the public transport and, like, carry it the rest of the way.
There's that. Maybe that's a slight nod to the ineffectiveness of public transportation as well.
Maybe, who is this one? Is this Bill Mantlo? Maybe Bill Mantlo was getting tired of the train breaking down all the time. He's like, you know what? I'm going to put it in the comic.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Show how bad this sucks. Wonder Man shows up in his Wonder Man costume, and they literally are all hanging around the waiting room, full costume and everything. Hawkeye's got his bow and arrow with him. Iron Man's wearing the suit. Everybody's got their full unitards.
And then there's a nurse that says, I can't believe I got 8 Avengers in here.
Hey.
Hey.
But the art on this book is actually pretty fantastic. There's some full page splashes here where it's like telling multiple stories in one page. It's not divided up into panels. It's pretty cool. And they need to get the power of Wonder Man. They need his energy that courses through his veins, not his blood, but his energy, and transfer that to Vision so they can give Vision enough power before they can even think about operating on his arm.
Well, so like this, I felt like this issue was very weird, but what was cool about it was that, to your point, they're oscillating between reality and this dream state that the Vision is in because he's in a coma from his injuries. And then, you know, some of it's like his past and memories. And then it's the world sort of blend at some point where the people are going in the dreams and out of the dreams. So I did think it was a complicated, story to illustrate, and I thought they did a good job with it. So that was my big takeaway from this one. I didn't actually have a ton of, like, you know, mind-bending notes on it, but I thought it was pretty cool. You have
two family things going on, which is Vision in his dream state is, you know, he's sort of, because he's not really human, he's not like in a coma, but he's kind of shut himself off because he's in so much pain to like this dream state, to where he's having flashbacks to his history and his lineage that he struggles with, because he had the body of the original Human Torch. And so is Phineas Horton his father?
Yes, the guy, that's correct.
Right. The guy who took the Human Torch's body and recreated it into the Vision body. Is it Ultron who then, like, killed Professor Horton, stole the Vision, like, replaced his mind with the mind of Wonder Man?
like, which of the, like, one is a very kind guy who's, like, just a doctor, and the other is Ultron, who tried to create him for evil and created him really to try and destroy the Avengers, and him struggling between these two fathers of which there is. And in the meantime, you got other family drama going on of Wonder Man, and Grim Reaper shows up.
Who's his brother?
Who's his brother? So Wonder Man is Simon Williams, and you see it in flashbacks in this comic. Wonder Man died. While he was dead, that's when they took his brain patterns and made the Vision's brain from his brain patterns. And then a few years later, they're like, oh, you weren't dead after all.
And then, so that was what was confusing to me. If he wasn't dead after all, then the guy that we are looking at, the Simon, is the brother of the Grim Reaper. But the Grim Reaper keeps saying that his brother is not really there.
He believes it because his brother died and came back. It's not the same soul. It might be the same mind, but his soul went to the afterlife, and you're some abomination that's just been reanimated, and you look like him and you sound like him, but you're not really him.
Got it. So they're weaponry-wise, they're using a lot of Siths in this. Like the staff, right, with the big blade on the end. It was in the first issue and in this issue.
Right. And that's what
the scythe?
The scythe.
Is that what it's called? Scythe?
Scythe?
And I don't know how to say it properly.
Mjolnir?
Mjolnir?
Arding?
Hey, Mjolnir makes an appearance in this issue, too. They can't tap Wonder Man's vein because his body's too indestructible. And Thor's like, let me help. And gets out Mjolnir and is like, zap. But yeah, that's one of the Grim Reaper's things, is he's got one hand that's been replaced by some energy blade scythe that also shoots stuff. And his whole thing is, I'm going to show up while both of them are weak and make sure they both die.
A good plan.
And he gets Scarlet Witch out of the way the old-fashioned way. A little chloroform. Sneaks up behind her.
The old-fashioned way.
A good old-fashioned kidnapper.
Little Buffalo Bill sounds of the lamb.
Seriously.
Here we go. Get it on the rag.
That's right. You're out. Just take her out. Oh my god.
Yeah. So Vision and Wonder Man wake up. They team up and then you know they whip him. They kick his ass. And then they're
gets
fine.
He gets his arm done or rebuilt.
Not yet. That's issue 4.
Yeah.
Please allow myself to introduce myself.
That's my other favorite one. Allow myself to introduce myself.
So skipping right ahead,
Austin Powers, Michael. That's an Austin Powers reference.
I know Austin Powers.
The actual title of the story is "Please Allow Me to Introduce Myself." Issue 4.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Of the Vision Scarlet Witch. And in this one, you got more family stuff going on, right? Some weird pilgrim shows up at a cow lady's house. Well, why don't you recount?
Monumental,
it? Michael.
Yeah, this is like really, really important to the entire.
Yes.
Yeah. Scarlet Witch.
Everything.
Yes.
Go for it.
Well, it does start off in this weird place.
Wundagore.
Wundagore, which is like an icy, snowy mountain, from what I can tell. And there's this beautiful cow lady named Bova, who's the midwife of Wundagore.
Yeah.
Mova?
and there's this figure clad, you know, all clad in white, who's sort of scaling the mountain, and he goes to this Bova lady's house, cow lady's house, and he gets her to tell this story somehow. She's very forthcoming with about this woman named Magda who came to her and was carrying a child, or carrying, well, what we later find out is two children. And, basically, this Magda was the mother of the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. And this white pilgrim basically gets Bova to say who these two kids were.
Right. She kind of tells him, she's like, it was a night like this 30 years ago. And this lady showed up and she was running away from her evil husband. Mm-hmm. And she told me I should never let her husband find the kids. And he's like, who are these children? Right.
Yes.
Tell me, you cow woman.
Well, and so we don't know who this white pilgrim is, but he gets what he wants out of the Bova lady, which is to learn the names of the children. And then we cut over to the moon, where the Scarlet Witch and the Vision are visiting with Quicksilver and his wife Crystal and their baby Luna, so that he can get his arm repaired and spend time with his newborn niece.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, did the cow woman have adamantium at all, Michael?
No, but you know what? I just to backtrack on that, I would like to admit when I'm wrong. It talks about adamantium, but it says that the Vision was molded at the hands of the adamantium automation Ultron. So,
I told you if they mentioned adamantium, it's because Ultron's made of adamantium.
Okay.
So, a rare point for Joe.
A rare
point. I apologize.
Not to deviate,
but these four comics, I literally probably read 60 times when I was.
Really?
Yes. I didn't have that much money at that age, and I just relied on what comics my dad brought.
Don't you kind of have a Jones in for the Scarlet Witch, too?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so.
That outfit's surprised. Not too bad.
I don't know about the headdress, but the outfit's
and cute. I wanted to wait until later, but Joe, like pre-Marvel movies, Scarlet and Vision, like I couldn't stand either one of them.
Really?
They like, were I hated them as a couple. I didn't understand all these things going on. I feel kind of bad because there's a lot of fans like you that like both of them, and I didn't get it. Either one of them. I just didn't.
Do you feel any differently having read this now? No.
No, I remember reading this.
He's like, no, I feel exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, yeah, this is, you know.
This was like my jam.
I guess I wasn't that complicated back then. I was a pretty simple, well, maybe I am now, but I didn't get all the other things going on. So I'm like, this is just confusing and dumb.
Well,
so
it's like watching Memento. If you only have one comic book and you got to read it 20 times, may as well be in a complicated one.
Yeah, those are complicated ones to read, Joe. So I'm glad you read them 60 times.
yeah, because it's all about the family stuff. So you got this white pilgrim, and he's found out, and then she sends a magic spell to warn the children danger, and Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are having like the same nightmare.
Yeah, they had dreams. Warn the children. The dream said, warn the children.
Right. And
yes.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, basically, they're having family time, and Magneto shows up.
Spoiler.
Yeah, well, because that's what I'm going to explain. The White
Pilgrim shows up.
No.
Then he reveals himself to be Magneto.
Does he show up as the White Pilgrim and reveal himself, or does he just show up as Magneto?
No, he shows up in the White Pilgrim outfit because he is displaying powers that I've never seen Magneto display before, which is the ability to fly through space unprotected. He flies literally to the moon, and it says he creates some field around himself that allows him to fly to the moon, and then force he field. Becomes invisible, so he uses his field somehow so no one can see him or sense him, not even Lockjaw, can't smell him, and then he creates a unbreakable force field around the palace. The place, I'm like, none of these things are things Magneto has ever done before in a comic book or since.
And if he could, he would have taken over the Homo sapiens like 10 times over with those powers.
Right.
I think that's why they're like, yeah, we can't
give him all this power.
Yeah,
right.
It's a little too much.
But then he reveals himself and they're like, dang, Magneto's here. And they're like, dude, we're done with you.
Yeah, they're like, we cut ties. We're enemies now. We announced that. What the heck are you doing here?
We put it on Facebook. Our status was, we it's broke complicated. Up
with you.
That's right. It's complicated. Pending.
But they go into doing, you know, to doing battle, and he keeps kind of saying, like, I'm not here to fight you. Finally, Crystal, the mother of Luna, she's like, come on, guys, this is just like getting ridiculous. Well, then they all stop fighting.
Well, it's like her and Scarlet Witch are like doing magic spells on him, and they're fighting. And isn't it at some point, it's like, I think it's Quicksilver's like, the baby, hey, come on, man, the baby's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Won't someone think of the children?
Think of the children. Think of the baby.
And then Magneto drops the bombshell of, I'm not here to fight. I'm just here to see my granddaughter. Dun, dun, dun. And they're like, what? Yes. No, it can't be. And Wanda's like, you do look a little like him.
And he's like, yeah. And you look just like
your mom.
Magda. Yeah. Haven't you ever questioned this?
They're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I look just like you, Pietro.
And they're like,
Well, I guess you look like Magneto, and he says he's the kid's grandfather. So here you go, Magneto. You have a turn holding the baby.
Not to mention the fact that I think the baby is...
And that's so the bigger thing.
She's, she's a mutant. Supposed to be human.
It's a normal human, but the mom is a mutant and the dad is an inhuman.
Right. And that's well, like so, the bombshell that's going
to... Well, so that's the thing. Yeah, Magneto's like, so now I have lineage. I have someone in my family who's a homo sapien. Maybe I can't hate all man.
So they can't be all bad.
Yeah. Right.
They can't be all bad because on my own is that.
Right. So now all of a sudden, Magneto, whose whole thing has been, I'm going to destroy all the homo sapiens. He's like, oh, but now I'm related to one. And then it ends on the whole, what's next for Magneto and these people now that they know all this?
Right. But they do. You're right. That the there's a lot of later comics but that tie into it. But the whole he had a son and a daughter, and Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, and that's his kids.
Right. Which then they totally change for the movies. But that's for another day where they're not actually mutants.
We got through a lot.
We did.
Right.
So overall, Michael, are you how do you feel your knowledge is now about Vision and Scarlet Witch and able to be able to watch WandaVision?
So much.
Yeah, your notes were really good, by the way.
I know so much.
What is your take? Scarlet Witch, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Well, so here's my only thing. I thought the stories around them were pretty interesting. I think individually, I'm kind of still waiting for them to be super interesting. Like their personalities, like even their relationship, they have no drama between them as like husband and wife. Like they're just like super loving and like very vanilla. So I'm kind of waiting to get a feel for their, I don't know what they're passionate about besides each other. And I don't think their personalities are like super, super strong, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
I think you're right. That's why I didn't really like them as a comic because they just didn't have a lot of that personality.
Yeah. Like I said, the story I think is interesting and it's like all the, you know, the backstory and the people around them and all that is, you know, was fun to read along, but individually, I don't know. I'm still trying to get there.
So if we're going to follow up on this, I think maybe we'll take a couple more recent stories that involve these characters that are more action, more traditional superhero type stuff. So you can see where they go. And then there's I don't know that we'll read the whole thing, but it occurs to me like the biggest story in recent history involving Scarlet Witch is the House of M. So maybe we'll do a recap of House of M too.
Cool. I don't know what that is, but right on. Let's do it.
All right. Well, that's what we have for Vision and Scarlet Witch for this time. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining Michael and Mark and chatting about comics with me again.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So cheers, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, cheers.
It's my pop can.
That's
it's
so
my
sad. You're Diet Cola.
Jeff. And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, at Casual Comics Guy, at our blog, casualcomicsguy.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.